You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Hey, it's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
Did you know that?
I did, actually. It's a rare occasion when I actually know what day it is.
I still don't know what day it is. Being out on Monday messes up the whole week.
Like, you poor thing. Taking
a
vacation.
Confused. What
rough
day
life,
is it?
Man, rough life.
It's fun day, though. We have fun guests
Wednesday
in
fun
studio.
Day?
Wednesday. Wednesday fun. It
I
doesn't
don't think that
rhyme.
Works.
Where did that come from?
You said it.
I said it is a fun day. I didn't mean for it to rhyme. Oh, we have some important stuff to talk about today, but fun people to talk about important stuff.
There you go.
That,
sure.
That doesn't make sense, does it?
Let's roll with it.
Thank you, Concordia University, Wisconsin. Thanks for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu, or you can find them in the underwriter section at kfuo.org. Go Falcons. Speaking of Falcons, we have a great Falcon baseball story to share on Friday.
Yes, we do.
Friday's a good day to talk about baseball, isn't it?
It's always a good day to talk about baseball.
You have a good baseball story. You were at a game last night.
I was at a game last
night. Which is why you're tired this morning.
So I'm really tired. Yeah. Me with some Royals fans. It was great. Yeah. Well, and I'm a Tigers fan, so of course I had to wear the Cards colors. Just to, you know, can't root for the Royals.
Like when you moved here and we decorated your cubicle with like all kinds of St. Louis stuff, including Cardinals gear.
But I can actually root for St. Louis teams, which makes me really happy.
Do we have another Tigers fan in studio this morning? No? I thought maybe.
Just another Michigan.
Just another Michigan fan. All right. In studio this morning, Juliana Schultz. She's a program manager for Lutheran Young Adult Corps in the LCMS Office of National Mission. Good morning, Juliana.
Good morning.
Glad to have you in studio. We got some interesting research to dig into today.
Yeah.
And brought the crew that helped you with that research, the Reverend Mark Kiesling, Director of Youth Ministry for the LCMS Office of National Mission. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Ryan Kernut, Senior Research Analyst. LCMS Research Services. Ryan, welcome back to the studios.
Yeah, good morning. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you in studio, ready to talk some interesting finds that you found in this research regarding young adults. Particularly, we're talking about millennials, right?
Correct.
Yes. Millennials. Do you know anything about millennials, Sarah?
I know a lot about being a millennial.
A lot about
life
being
experience.
A millennial. Boy, I shared my favorite quote from, what was that, what day was that?
I think that was Monday.
Was it Monday? One day earlier
Monday
this week.
Monday or Tuesday.
I think it was Tuesday.
It might have been. I wasn't here, so I don't remember.
It was Tuesday, I think. I'm not sure. It was one day recently when you weren't here. It was a recorded segment, and you said, somebody's got to do the social media around here. It was the millennial.
That would be me.
Absolutely, it was.
What, Juliana, what prompted your research on young adults? I know you work with young adults all the time.
I do work with young adults. And so
we have a great one in studios, in the studios here helping with KFUO.
Yeah, so I work with young adults in Lutheran Young Adult Corps. Obviously, Raymond, who works here at KFUO, is we're in our part of our program, but also as a part of my work, I helped with the LYF poll that is a part of a long-term survey that we do of young people who come to the gathering. So about 1,500 that come to the gathering. And as we worked on that, we also decided we wanted to pull the young adult volunteers. So we have about 600 young adults who come and serve at the gathering, do all sorts of things. They're a fantastic group of young people. And so we wanted to see kind of what their answers to those questions would be. Some of the questions that we'd asked in the LYF poll, what would we see as different or the same for our young adults? We did a very short survey and got a lot of interesting information. In fact, we came and talked about it on the show, but had a lot more questions than we had answers. And we thought, hey, you know, there's probably a lot more that we can learn about this group, especially as it applies to our church and how we can better minister to that age range.
What were you looking for? Was this a specific, angle you were looking for with this research? Maybe Mark's better for that.
Well, there are a couple of things. I think one piece Juliana touched on is just to connect with young adults, and as we do with the high school students at the gathering as well, just to kind of get their basic understanding of some doctrinal pieces, as well as their connection with the church, as well as kind of their use of time and that type of thing, too. Mm-hmm. At the same time, too, we have been looking at our long-range numbers within the LCMS, from infant baptisms to confirmation, which are two key points where we get kind of data points as a synod. And we had seen those numbers decline over the decades since the baby boom era. and not only decline in raw numbers, but then even the percentage of baptisms, who, if you will, that make it to confirmation, you know, 10, 13 years later. And mm-hmm. so I wanted to look at that, too, in terms of looking at those retention numbers, what's happening. And then really, let's start to paint a picture, too, what looks, what takes place after confirmation into graduation from high school and beyond, and how are they connecting into Christian community and Lutheran churches, both past confirmation and past graduation, too, so that we are mm-hmm. doing the best as we could to connect them.
Did you have some ideas in mind of what, you know, preconceived notions, what you might find when you started the research?
Yeah, I mean, I think we did. And some of those paired out to be true and some of them didn't. You know, we have lots of narratives around why maybe we don't retain young people in the church or why we don't see young people in the church. I think we made some assumptions. Some of those bared out, some of them didn't, but we got some really interesting, pieces that are going to help the church kind of think more critically about ministry to that age.
Let's talk about the actual process of gathering this data. I think this is probably Ryan's
That's
area.
That's a Ryan question, yeah, for sure.
How did you go about this? I mean, what was your starting point for planning to gather this data?
Well, our starting point really was we did this in two phases. And first of all, we went out to congregations just to try and paint that picture. How many young adults went through the church, grew up in the church, were confirmed, went through these the process, stayed through high school, stayed after graduation. We wanted to get some numbers on that. But that also allowed us to sort of ask, you've had young people leave the church. Are there family members still in your church? Are there friends still in your church? So we already had this first phase of the survey sort of established that, yes, these young people do have connections, even if they've left the church. There's still relational ties to the church. And so we played off that when we went out to find young adults who left the church. That's a really hard group to survey because yeah. they're not there. Mm-hmm. But we knew, if people from the International Center of the LCMS tried to get them to take a survey, they probably wouldn't take a survey. But if their grandma asked them, if their brother asked them, if an old friend asked them, they'd be much more likely to take it. So we really relied on those connections. We also relied on social media because we knew that's another way they're connected. They're connected to friends on social media who are still in the church. And so, thank you to all the people who helped share and promote this survey, both by word of mouth and on social media, because that's really how we got the word out to so many people to give us their feedback.
That's an interesting thing, an interesting point that in order to get this data properly from a lot of people, you have to kind of go about it from maybe an unconventional, unconventional way.
Yeah, yeah, and it is. And it comes with some limitations. I mean, it's not a perfect, representative random sample. There is some self-selection. There was no way we could really control who did it, but we did have some controls to make sure people weren't, filling it out twice. But the responses we got really do, we have software that can, analytical software that can test, did they just go through click, 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 click? No, these seem to be very heartfelt responses, honest and earnest responses. They left just from those young people who had left the church who filled out the survey, they left 50,000 words of narrative total. So these people wanted to give feedback to the church. And so it was probably really good that we asked them and got a hold of them.
It wasn't like when you're doing the standardized tests and you just
fill in the bubbles.
Have your right. pattern for filling
and we
get
another 50,000 words or so from those that remained in the church,
yes.
telling
wow.
us about their faith life. So, yes. They took this really seriously and left us with a book, a novel
yeah.
of what this generation has experienced in the church and those kind of pieces.
I've yeah. seen the book. It's more like an anthology or encyclopedia.
It got me stopped in TSA because it was too thick.
Quote for the day.
That's going to be the title of this one.
But truly, I carried it around for several weeks, not only just reading it, but trying to process it because we wanted to take their responses and their answers really seriously. And they were going to be willing to be honest, then we were going to be willing to listen really carefully to what they had to to say.
Yeah, yeah, and encouraging honesty and authenticity for the millennials.
That's a buzzword, isn't it?
It is a buzzword. Well, we're talking about millennials. But that's really important, though, to come across as being somebody that's actually going to list. Like, this isn't just a, oh, hey, let's take this survey because we kind of care, but not really. I mean, this is, you really actually want to know so that, mm-hmm. you know, you can do something with it. You touched on it a little bit, and I think we're probably going to break soon.
We got about a minute before
okay.
we go to break.
So we'll intro half, this. What was the response? You've mentioned a few things, but what was the response for the survey?
Well, we had 2,000, over 2,000 responses to the survey, and almost all of those, all but 40 really, were from young people, young adults under the age 18 to 35 years old, in that age range. And 95% of them were confirmed in the LCMS. But amazingly, within that number, we heard from 355 young people who were confirmed in the LCMS who do not consider themselves LCMS Lutheran today. They're either in another denomination or they've left the church altogether. And we asked them to tell us that. We know where they were. So 355 young people grew up in the church, no longer in the church, and an additional 186 who still call themselves LCMS Lutheran, but they're not attending worship. And so these are inactive young people. And so we had a good number of them to really find out. And of course, then, you know, our largest group, we had almost 1,400 active young adults, active LCMS young adults that we heard from, and we heard great responses from them as well.
We'll dig into a little bit more of what does this mean as we look at the results from this and what we can do with that information that's been gathered in this research. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
This is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
And this is Pastor Jolly John Lukumski. Matt, I'm trying to think what would be a good theme verse for wrestling with the basics, like John 3:16 or...
Well, I think I've got one, John.
Yeah?
How about Acts 2, verse 15?
What is it?
For these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning.
That's perfect!
All right, now, there's no time for foolishness.
Wrestling with the basics.
9:05 Saturday mornings on KFUO.
Where we take God's word seriously, but we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Concord Matters is a show seeking agreement in Christian confession. I'm Pastor Charles Henriksen, one of the hosts of Concord Matters, heard on Worldwide KFUO each Tuesday at 2 p.m. Central and a repeat on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Central. We take an in-depth look at the Book of Concord with some fine Lutheran theologians. Concord Matters, live on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
KFUO is faithful to the Word of God. Listen daily to KFUO as we focus on salvation through Christ Jesus. Generations have heard KFUO proclaim the good news through our talk programs, music programs, and worship services. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. KFUO, faithful, scriptural, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.
Recently, a listener asked me about an interpretation of the parable of the talents. I did not agree with what he said was the interpretation, so on the next Law and Gospel, I, Tom Baker, will provide a law and gospel understanding of the parable of the talents as found in Holy Scripture.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're learning about you.
I know. It's a great day.
Seriously, we're learning about millennials. What, 18 to 35, I think, was the age range that we're looking at, that we're talking about today.
Yep.
Millennials and the church, and looking at research on LCMS young adults who were confirmed, those who stayed connected to the congregations or to the LCMS, and those who have departed, and what can we learn from them in this research. We shared some stats before we went to break on some of those numbers and a little bit about those who stayed, those who left. What have you learned that you think is going to be most helpful? And I'll let you guys decide who wants to start. Because I'm sure both of you, Mark, you know, overall in youth ministry have learned a lot. And Juliana, you've learned a lot, and I'm sure in terms of young adults and what this means for you and how we reach young adults.
Sure. There's one very practical thing that came out, and this was in the first study that Ryan talked about with the congregations. And one was actually the importance of record keeping. We kind of asked essentially how the survey worked with the congregations. We said, go back into your confirmation records from, you know, 04 to 06, about 10 years ago, and tell us where these young people are at. And one of the responses, well, we just don't really have good records. And a high portion of congregations came back with that we would like to see, that could be a real practical thing to change. And then the other piece that we had, basically a third that came back and said, we don't know where these young people are, so that they had lost relationships with these confirmands from just in a decade. And some of that, there's a lot of answers to that. Church workers change, maybe not a good process. Those relationships maybe had fallen off a little bit, but just to see that starkly on a piece of paper, to be that we don't know where a third of our young people are from just 10 years ago, was an eye opener to me. And I think it's a real practical thing when we've talked about this with congregation. They're like, yeah, we can probably up our game a little bit there, and making sure that they're members of our church now. They're confirmed members. And how do we make sure that we're connecting with them? And then it played out when we asked millennials about when they said, hey, I went away to graduation and I just kind of lost connection. And so really thinking, help churches think through that. What are some real good practical, from spreadsheets to shepherd staff, whatever it might be, to how are we keeping those records and keeping those relationships going with these young people?
Absolutely. Juliana, what about you working with young adults?
Yeah, there's so much. I think one of the things that we saw, both from the congregational data and from the survey, was just how high their retention, or how much more improved their retention rate is when you have young adults who are serving and young adults who are leading. When you have a young adult under 30 who's in your leadership in your church, your retention rate for young people is much higher. That's for the overall LCMS, but also in your home congregation. So giving young people, as they grow up, an example of what it looks like to be a part of their church and what they can aspire to is a huge piece of what we can think about. But then also opportunities to serve. They're looking for ways to serve. They expect their church to be serving their community. And they expect the church to be reaching out. And those are qualities that they're looking for in a church: an opportunity to serve, an opportunity to lead, an opportunity to live out their vocation in their community and in their lives. Those are pieces that I think we have to really think about critically, and not just, I want this young, we need a young person, let's just throw them into whatever open position we have. But how are we systematically lifting up young leaders, mentoring them, giving them opportunities to run and try new things? And that can be scary. It could mean change. It could mean adjusting things. It could mean using more tech. Now, it could mean a lot of things. But the church really has to think systematically about how we're going to do that in order for us to see those retention numbers improve.
Yeah, I think that's something I think we've talked about before, and we've seen in other places, that millennials, they like the chance to serve. And you know, there's that theme of having this culture among younger people of wanting to give back and wanting to see what we can actually do to help people and to feel like our contributions are appreciated, and that, you know, we're allowed, quote unquote, to do things and to use our talents in a way that's useful.
Well, and I think you can draw a really good line between them being allowed to serve and lead, and then feeling like they're a part of a community.
Yes, exactly.
And having that relationship, a place and a relationship within that community. If they are active and they're interacting with people in their community or in their church, they're much more likely for them to say, like, yeah, I feel good about this. This is a place where I belong. This is a place that's a good, authentic community. And use some buzzwords for me, right? And that's gonna help them in sticking with and holding on to that church community.
Absolutely.
I'm intrigued by this what you saw, the consistency across board when there was a young adult what you said, 30 or under, who's serving as a leader in their congregation, had some form of leadership in the congregation, that the youth, the young adults were more likely to stay connected. I wonder if that, this is merely speculation and you can shut me down when I'm wrong. I wonder if that
That's
has,
Ryan's for.
If that has something to do with our culture, especially in North America, really focusing on interacting primarily with peers. And so in order for me to identify with a group, in order for me to find my identity and be connected to others in my congregation, I'm really more comfortable connecting with someone who's closer in age, or for me to even visualize and understand myself as a leader in this congregation in the future, I can see that better if I can see someone else closer to my age rather than someone who's much older than I am, even though we've seen through intergenerational, in congregations where there's a lot of intergenerational activity, young people can connect very well with people who are a couple generations older than them. Do you think that, am I way off here? Somebody want to chime in and tell me I'm really wrong?
I think that other points in the data really do confirm that having the connections to peer community was important. And by having leaders, you're not only saying that someone like you has an opportunity to serve, but you're also able to see someone like me is here. Someone like me is in a visible position. I see them. I know that I'm welcome here. So even if they don't necessarily have aspirations to be in leadership themselves, they know people like me can serve. People like me can be here. I am represented. I'm not alone. We do see the opposite sentiment in a lot of the people who left the church. I just didn't see anyone there my age. There were very few people my age. There was no voice in leadership my age, and I didn't feel welcome because of all those things.
Do you think, though, that's a cultural thing, that we think we can only identify with something that our culture teaches us, that we can only identify with somebody when they're close in age to us? I don't know.
I think, sorry.
Go for it.
I'm not a guest, but I think, but it's, we're talking about me today. When you get, through grade school and in through high school and into college, you're constantly with your peer group. So when, after you graduate college, that's all you're really used to. So if you don't see that in your church, and if you don't see that peer group, you don't really know how to take that next step into knowing where to belong.
And I think to Andy's point, I think that's where congregations who are doing intergenerational ministry at younger ages, that is the one place where they get that. To say, like, at school, I'm with kids my age all the time. And at church, I get to connect with all these generations. And man, that's what I want. And I know where that, where I was accepted and loved by all generations when I was a kid, maybe growing up and into high school age. And man, post-college, I got this great opportunity now to re-engage with a community that cares about me, where I'm at in my place, and wants to walk along with me. So I think that's where, and when congregations even do that with younger students, there's that connection to be like, the church is the place where we are intergenerational, and that was a wonderful thing, and they want to seek that community again.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right, you're coming off of years where that's programmed, where you're spending so much of your week with your peers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, I feel validated now. What, we only have a few minutes. What are we going to, what can we do with this? What can the pastor who's listening, the DCE, the parent, the young adult, what can we do with this? How can we get our hands on this information? We got about 3 minutes.
Yeah. So I certainly want to take just a minute and just say, one of the things we found was that parents are still the number one influencers of faith. So parents, please be encouraged that when you are active in your church, when you're bringing your kids to church, that has a huge impact on their longevity in the church and their retention rate. So thank you for your service as you do that. We can talk more about this, but the research is available online. So we did 3 webinars about the research, and then have discussion guides for leadership to go through that, and as well as the PowerPoints and executive summary and all of that. That is available online somewhere.
Yes. We'll provide links. We've got both webinars through YouTube, and then also the actual research itself through Dropbox. Eventually that will be on the eSource. Here in the next couple of weeks, we'll be in one handy location to find that. The other thing I'd add is not just parents, other adults too, key in forming those relationships with young people. And I would say a real great thing to be thinking about for church workers is be thinking of the long-term ministry opportunities with young people. for the individual young people themselves to start painting that picture. What does it look like when you leave high school and you continue to connect with the church and receive Christ's gifts and be in his word and be connecting with other Christians and community on college campuses and at work or military service, wherever it may be, and start talking about that. Have those conversations. Help parents have those conversations. And as well for the individual church workers to be thinking about ministry happened before you got there and it's going to happen after you leave. And how are you bridging those gaps well for when ministry does change with individuals, and who are you handing off that well to, so that those relationships do are not just resided in those individual people, but they're a whole body there supporting those young people, so that if you take a call or leave, there's still relationships that are happening and making connection points. So I think that was one thing we saw in the data too, that sometimes the relationships could be so heavy with one person, and when that person leaves, the relationship with the church gets then disconnected, and how are we making sure we've got other adults in that to jump in when there is a transition, maybe.
Yeah. And this might be,
about 30 seconds.
Oh, so. Man.
Well, I bet, yeah, a little over 30 seconds.
I was going to ask another question, but that's going to be too much. But
we can add to the program notes today some of the links that we were talking about a little bit ago.
Yes, we can. I was just going to hop on to what Juliana said about parents being such an integral part of keeping young kids and young adults in the church. That I think I read somewhere in this lovely thing that I read through that you can't do something that you don't see being done.
Yeah.
So when parents aren't modeling that, the faith and the behavior of going to church and receiving the gifts, it's hard for the kids to know how to do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Unless they have another adult other adults, faithful adults modeling that for them too. Oh, man. We need another hour.
We need another hour.
Juliana Schultz, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Ryan Kernett, thanks so much for being here.
Glad to be here.
Reverend Mark Kieseling, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
And man, okay, we'll put links in the show notes.
Yeah, we will.
Program notes. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golson.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. The listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.